What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Self-Helpless podcast. I am Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
So we wanted to read a review because everyone's been leaving such amazing, lovely reviews.
So
we
nice.
Really appreciate it on iTunes, 5-star reviews. And then people are just writing really nice things, and it makes us all feel great, and we all just squeal over them when we get together and get really teary-eyed and cry. So we're going to read one of it. Delaney has one pulled up.
It's such a good one. They titled it So Relatable, which I'm already into that.
And who was it from?
It's by Every Day I'm Stumbling. So shout out to you. Thank you so much. And you might also get a shout out if you leave us a wonderful review. So, you know, incentive, #incentive. This is the most relatable podcast I've ever listened to. I find myself nodding in agreement to most of what is said during every episode. They're laying out guilty pleasures on the table, making fun of them, and then totally owning the fact that they love it, have tried it, or honestly think it's a sham. Can't wait for future episodes. Well, here we are at a future episode. Every day I'm stumbling. Already crushing
it's
it for you.
It's a goddamn miracle.
Yeah.
Here
yeah.
we are.
Just for you, we did this episode. So
we were going to stop.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We got that review.
We're going to do 6 and quit it.
And we're like, we're going to keep stumbling forward.
Yeah. There we go.
Onward to greatness.
But so yeah, thank you.
Follow in their path and go give us a 5-star rating and review. Like I've said, if you're in front of your computer right now or your phone, it takes 2 seconds just to even click the 5th star. If you don't want to leave a full sentence, which, I mean, you should fucking leave a full sentence for the love of God. It only takes another 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But if you're really, you're running out of the house, just click that 5th star and it feels good to help people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can put out a hey. Hi.
Hi.
Emoji.
Sup. Put an emoji.
You up?
Yeah.
I would appreciate any of those.
Please leave.
Please you up. Yeah.
Yeah. Kelsey and Delaney are not single, but I am. And I would really appreciate a you up review.
Maybe you could win a date with Taylor Tomlinson. Maybe that'll be a new segment.
That's what we're auctioning off until we get t-shirts.
Yes. Until
it's,
then.
It's not as good as a t-shirt.
Taylor's goodies. That's what's up for grabs. So subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave
send
that.
Send us emails. selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com. And selfhelplesspodcast.com.
It's official.
We have a website. Shout out to Patrick at Paramount.
Yeah.
He helped us out. He's
Patrick
awesome.
nicely@gmail.com for all your tech needs. Send him love notes too.
Send me and Patrick love notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, so email us there, because at the end of this episode, we're going to be doing a little advice segment. And so if you have anything that you want us to help you out with in your life, anything self-help related, or which is such a broad thing. I mean, it can be about your relationship, it can be about your job, be a friendship, something you want us to give you some advice on. Email selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com.
Or recommendations, yes, of what we should talk about or try.
Exactly.
So always looking to get better.
Any kind of feedback. We're actually going to be implementing some of the feedback we've already gotten. Stay tuned for the end of the episode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Look at that. A little teaser.
Look at that. Little car crash.
What's up? Hashtag incentive. It's going to be my new one.
Hashtag incentive.
This is like
my
a new
hashtag.
Thing. Yeah, you're just hashtagging everything.
Let's
I love
make it.
Doesn't that sound like a self-help book? That's like hashtag aimed at young people. Like,
oh, yeah.
Hashtag incentive. Like, and it's for like how to parent for,
oh
like,
my
20
God.
Somethings.
Yes.
Give them a hashtag incentive.
Ooh.
Throw your kid a kale chip and keep them motivated.
Yes. Who's motivated by kale chips? What
Someone
a fucking shitty kid. What a really boring kid. I do not want to hang out with that kid.
This is true. This is true. All right, so do we want to...
Quotables?
Yeah, I think we've got to do quotables.
We
Kelsey
do.
Got an amazing...
Kelsey has probably the best quote
we've had so far.
Up until this point, because of the backstory.
Yeah, this is an exciting quote because it was one that is sent. It was sent to us by Club Soda Kenny, which if you are a Jim Norton fan, you know Club Soda Kenny. If you listen to Opie and Anthony all the years, Club Soda Kenny was the bodyguard for Andrew Dice Clay.
Incredible.
Back in the day. He is now Jim Norton's road manager, also does security for like him and Amy Schumer. He's the best. I adore Club Soda Kenny so much. So he said, I heard your favorite quote. Here's one to add to this episode. No matter how long you have traveled down the wrong road, you can always turn around. Oh,
so
what?
Good.
Boom.
Soda Kenny.
Nailed it. Hit it out of the park.
Also goes to show this podcast, not just for chicks.
No.
Yeah. Dudes, listen to us. Dudes, and I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I was
it's
worried
for
about
everybody.
It.
I was so worried that we were going to just, you know, the dudes weren't going to be into it.
Yeah, but.
But they are.
But they are. We're just crushing it. Everybody
needs help.
I think that's a great quote, too. It's so true. Like,
yeah.
No matter what you've done in your life, you can always turn it around. If you've messed up like so badly, like it seems like you're beyond repair, like talk to the Lifetime channel, like they can make a movie about it, like someone can write a book based on your life, like you can figure it out. There's no cavern too dark that you can't light a match.
This is so true.
Are you making,
on a pillow. God, that was good.
Are you making your
was that
own?
A quote?
That was my own
that
quote.
Was your
I
quote
made that up.
Holy
straight
shit, I like that
heart. That was
it's all quotes are it's just rewording stuff other people have said.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Also, it's so great because it applies to the people who are maybe stuck in a job that they're feeling like, oh man, I really wish I would have followed my passion, but I'm already, you know, I've been here at this company for 5 years, I've got benefits, whatever. It's like, well, if you're not happy, just turn around, go do something else. You can do it.
Yeah.
So I like that.
I love it. It's never too late.
Never too late.
Never too late.
So follow Club Soda Kenny on Facebook and Twitter at Club Soda Kenny. Do it. He's the best. He's hilarious.
To take after Club Soda Kenny, you can find me on Twitter at Taylor Tomlinson, at T Tom Comedy on everything else. Kelsey.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Kelsey Cook. Instagram is Kelsey Cook Comedy, and my website is KelseyCook.com.
At Delaney Fisher on all of the things. DelaneyFisher.com.
So clean. I love that.
So just
we're so jealous.
I like it now. As a kid, hated it.
Did you really?
Never had my name on a keychain.
Oh.
After the field trips. Fuck those gift shops, man.
Delaney was never on a keychain?
Never.
Oh, see,
never.
Kelsey and Taylor, that was like half the keychain.
Yeah, always.
Yeah,
you guys
basic bitch.
You probably had not only a keychain, but those little license plates that you could hang in your room.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had all that.
All day.
I asked my mom to make me one for my birthday. Like, can you just like get one made specially?
Aww.
And she never did. She never did. But it's okay. Because she did buy me a new laptop last year. So she made up for it in a big way when I really needed it. So
with the card, did it say, like, sorry about the keychain?
Sorry about the keychain license plate. Here is your life.
It's never too late.
It's never too late, Mom, and you nailed it. So,
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I had a treat yourself this week. I had a treat yourself that turned into a self-careless, to be honest with you.
That's really a doozy.
So I texted you both in our very active group chat where I was like, would it look stupid if I got my nose pierced?
And we both said, no.
And you were both like, no, do it. That would look so cute on you. And I was like, thanks, guys. And I went and I'd been thinking about it.
Just turned into like a bridge troll Al Pacino. Yeah.
Thanks, okay. Guys.
That's your real voice.
Very empowering for me. Like, I got these blonde highlights in my hair. Like, yeah. I'm basically a different person. I've been on stage a couple times just like apologizing to the audience. Like, I just got this done. I'm not really sure. I'm a little aggressive. It's changing me.
You are changing your look.
It is. So I was like, oh, well, I do no wrong. I should just do whatever fancy flies into my head. So I was like, I'm going to get my nose pierced. So I went and got it pierced at like 8:30 at night, like 30 minutes before the mall closed while I was on the road.
Where did you get it? Like a Claire's?
It was a place called Body Jewels. No, it was like...
Body Jewels?
Yeah, it was in a mall. It was a whole store for piercings. They had a room. They put on gloves.
Oh.
And I knew several people who had already gone there. They didn't have any issues.
So you had recommendations for Body Jewels.
Yes.
Okay.
Body Jewels.
Just want to make sure.
With a Z, I think.
Oh.
Yikes.
It wasn't a kiosk. It was a store.
Okay.
They're just handing out MRSA.
Did they use a needle or a shotgun?
A needle.
Okay, good.
Yeah. But.
Clear it up.
Here's the thing. It looked really cute. It hurt. People told me it didn't hurt. They're like, it doesn't hurt. It's fine. It's just pressure. No, it hurts.
Oof.
Maybe is childbirth just pressure to you? It didn't hurt that bad, but it did hurt. And I got it done and I was like, oh, it looks so cute. And I had it for a day. And the next day it started swelling, not like visibly, but it started like sinking into my nose.
Oh, God.
Which I looked online and that's like a thing. It'll sink into your nose sometimes.
And, like, swallow it?
I don't know if it goes that far.
Okay.
I think some people, I think it can.
Oh my
like
gosh.
It like pops your nostril like a balloon and it like just goes it in?
It goes in, I think, yeah. It like, doesn't pop it, like it doesn't like pop it, but your thing is swollen, so I think it kind of swells around the jewel.
What color was your stud?
Was it just silver? Like a... I have a picture.
Yeah, okay.
Picture.
We're definitely going to have to put the picture on the Facebook, which you can follow at Self Helpless on Facebook.
You can.
Self Helpless Podcast. Yeah.
We're really good. We post a lot of stuff. But it looked good, but then the next day it was like flat on my face, and I was like, that doesn't look right, which is so annoying because, you know, part of the reason I got it is because like, ooh, this will distract from the fact that my face is so round and cherubic looking.
What? Is that why you got it?
No, I mean, it's part of it. Is cherubic the way to say it? When you look like a cherub.
Oh.
I have a round face.
Cherubic. I think you just coined a new word.
This is immediately after it was done, so it doesn't look sunken.
Cute.
That is cute. Let me see
this. It's so cute. But by the next day, it was like, it looked
really
like it was
cute.
Flat against my nose. That's how much it had sunk.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
And I couldn't flare my nose. I couldn't flare my nostrils because it hurt.
Okay.
And you had to keep spraying it. And they were like, it's just going to be like that for a while. And then I watched all these YouTube videos at like 2 a.m. of these girls saying like, yeah, you can get keloids, which are just bumps around the thing that you just have to deal with. And you just, you know, you ignore it. But they're going to probably scar. Like, just,
what?
Yeah. So there's all this stuff. And I was like, I'm traveling a lot for the next couple months. Like, I can't be worried about this. So then I went back and had them take it out, which they charged me $5 to take it out. I was
really?
Like, and it hurt.
Body Jewels.
It hurt coming out too. She was like, oh yeah, you're swollen. That's probably why it feels tight. I was like, yeah. I mean, yeah. I paid you to maim me.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. It's very out of character for me to just like pierce my face. And then I thought about it more and I was like, I know I don't want this forever. So why would I get like a scar? Why would I have a scar or a hole there?
Were you having an allergic reaction to it?
Maybe. I have very sensitive ears.
So maybe
it was kind of a risk.
Was there nickel in it?
Maybe. I was going to say maybe the material.
Okay.
Which is like what they make fake hips out of.
Yeah. I was just doing that.
That's what they said. They were like, you can get nickel, gold, or titanium. That's what they said.
Or Sia. You choose.
So, yeah, man.
But I felt like that was taking care of myself by getting it taken out. And then I took it out and it bled. And I was like, this is horrible. But it's pretty much closed up.
But
now.
You felt
it
cool.
It closed up quickly.
You felt cool for like 24 hours.
I felt so cool. For 24 hours. I did a show with it in and I was just like, oh,
I'm so cool.
But it was just. I could see it peripherally. So it felt like there was like a, I just
like a bug.
I felt like a dog something in a you. Spider web. Like, where is it? What's that? There's a glitter on my face. So that was weird. But Man. Yeah, you kind of had a similar thing, kind of like a self careless slash treat yourself.
See, I have a very strange relationship with food because yes, I know I need to eat healthy to take care of my body, but also food is just such a big part of my life and it makes me so happy. So like treating myself can also be a little self careless, you know?
Yeah.
Like I celebrated my boyfriend's birthday this past weekend and we just did a lot of like binge eating, you know,
together
and separately.
Oh my God.
And so I had a great time, you know, popcorn and candy and meats and cheeses and breads, you know, like it was
many
the whole
meats.
Shebang. So many meats. And then Game of Thrones was on last night and
was
we
good?
Had,
I haven't watched it yet.
It was really good. I don't know anything about it, but I'm getting into it because he was like, we're going to do wine and dinner every Sunday. And like, you had me at wine and dinner. I don't care what's on TV. As long as you're cooking me something, I'm there. And it was cool. And so, yeah, I did a lot of binge eating. But I had a really good time doing it. So I feel like I kind of took care of myself, but it was also like, I feel like it's the same pattern. Every time I talk about what I did that was not good for myself, it was always eating too much bagels,
right.
Eating too many, popcorns and candies. And so it's a work in progress.
Gaining weight. And like taking, because if I had your your metabolism, I would do whatever I wanted. And like,
it's
cancer
hard.
Be damned.
Yeah, it's tough. I know there, you know, but it's a work in progress, you guys.
Yeah, you know? I don't want to like spoil too much because we want to talk about it in a future episode. Yeah. But the whole the health documentary.
Oh yeah,
that really stuck with me. Like. The idea that certain people will drop dead in a gym who are all like roided up and beefed up, where they might look physically perfect on the outside, but their insides are
right.
They've been just rotting away.
Right.
So, yeah. Very interesting.
That's a nice teaser. Me and Kelsey are trying to not eat meat.
Yeah.
It's been really hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard to go vegan.
So hard to go vegan.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, I've been thinking about that too. Just like how you can look, you know, really healthy and like cut or whatever. But that's what I've been worried about, is not eating meat. I'm like, oh, am I going to gain weight now? But it's like, but if you're healthier and you feel better, isn't that better? And I'm like, I don't know if it is.
It's just like a damned if you do, damned if you don't. I feel like everything is bad for you and everything causes you cancer. You know, you go vegan, then you accidentally eat too much soy and that's bad for you.
Yeah.
And then or then you try to do pescatarian, but then there's so much mercury in the fish. Like, you're fucked either way. So I feel like, I don't know. Just try to take care of yourself. Everything in moderation.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I've done everything. I know we're going to talk about this on a future episode, but I was vegan and vegetarian and pescatarian and ovipescatarian. I've tried all the shit.
Wow.
And now I'm back to eating everything, but I know that I need to reel it in just a little bit. But yeah, it's hard to know what is actually right and where you're getting your information from and double checking everything. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world. It's a crazy, you know, spiral too.
Yeah. Cause even these documentaries that are promoting what you think are, you know, a healthy lifestyle, they're talking about, well, the, you know, this association is actually sponsored by Kraft and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, but this documentary is also pushing an agenda and it's like, are you sponsored by like fava beans?
Pita?
You're like,
yeah.
You know,
right.
Like,
you never know.
Yeah, so that's another. We have to save that for another episode.
Yeah,
but
yes,
so
get ready for that because we've got a lot of shit we want to talk about.
So much. You'll find out why I became a vegan.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm excited.
I don't know if I can wait for that episode.
I know.
I know.
Off air. So what are we talking about today?
Today we are tackling the book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck
by Mr. Mark Manson.
Yes.
Boom.
Boom. Such a bright book. You took the cover off.
Yeah.
Very orange.
That never even occurred to me. And I was reading this like in a gym and I was like, this is so bright. Like, I felt very self-conscious. But it catches your attention as far as like just the
cover, yeah, they
design,
did
it. I am so so into the cover design.
Yeah, it's great.
I get why it's a bestseller.
Cover art.
Yeah, they did a great Nailed job. You might, if you have liked our Self-Helpless podcast page on Facebook, you might have seen me post a video where I showed that I had used a clump of cat hair as my bookmark, which was clearly a slippery slope of me not giving enough of a fuck anymore. So the book is very effective. Mm-hmm. I switched from cat hair to a little piece of Kleenex at some point. So it's still kind of not great. I'm still pretty
was
much trash.
Do you need a bookmark? I have bookmarks, Kelsey.
You know, it's a very, very sad life I'm living right now.
I have a flashcard in my purse if you, really want it.
I know. I need to step up my bookmark game.
Let's make Self-Helpless bookmarks.
Oh. Yay. That's a cute idea. Well, we're definitely going to do some merch soon.
Yeah. There we go. So yeah, Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Mark Manson is a very popular, has a very popular website. Was blogging for a very long time. I think he still does, but that turned into him writing this book. And like you said, New York Times bestseller. And he has a very, I mean, I think his approach and his perspective is unlike anything I've ever read before. I mean, it was pretty eye-opening to me. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think when you started reading it, you, Kelsey is who I'm pointing at, for everybody listening, which is everyone, you were like, this is really interesting. I'm liking it more than I thought I would, but I don't agree with everything.
Right. Yes.
So what was the first thing you read that you were like, okay, that's cool, but I don't agree with it? Because it was pretty early on, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember what point that was?
I think it was, you know what it is? I think sometimes I have a problem with people doing the whole, like, you're not special thing. Like,
oh, yes.
That.
Which, I mean, I think if you take it with a grain of salt, that's fine. But I really, like, I feel like there's so much shit in the world that when you have that sort of a voice in your head, I feel like that goes against, like, the artist's way and all these things where it's like, treat yourself like a precious object and take care of yourself. You're a small child inside, you know, like coddle yourself a little bit, as opposed to almost that tough coach mentality of, you're not special. Like, no one gives a fuck about you.
Yeah. Because so you shouldn't give a fuck.
I kind of like the you're not special because it made me feel like everybody has a lot of the same thoughts and doubts as I do. And it almost made me feel like, oh, like we're all, you know, we're all human. We're all doing this. But then I do like the fact that he's like, you know, try to hone in on what you do think you like and what you're good at and what you're passionate about. So it's like, yeah, you're maybe not special because we're all like, we all get sad about stuff. We all go through breakups. We all, you know, lose people, whatever it might be.
Right.
But there is something that, you know, is unique about you and you need to give more fucks about that thing.
Totally.
So I do kind of like that.
Is this the part that you were talking about? I think I did dog ear it.
Okay.
It's where it says, my recommendation, don't be special, don't be unique. Redefine your metrics in mundane and broad ways. Choose to measure yourself not as a rising star or an undiscovered genius. Instead, measure yourself by more mundane identities, a student, a partner, a friend, a creator. I feel like I was sort of with you when I first read that too. If you just hear like, you're not special. Yeah. You're not unique. I'm like, what?
Like,
I grew up in a church. God created me. But like, I kind of do agree with what he's saying. I think you have to, the important thing about this book is I feel like if you only read like the first half of the sentence, it can be like, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
Right.
Did you feel like that?
Yes.
But then once you finished it, you were like, oh, okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Like, because even the title, like, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, and the first, like, chapter is like, you only have so many fucks. Don't give that many fucks about stuff. Give, like, no fucks about anything. And you're like, all right, maybe chill out a little bit. Like, this is funny, but, like, what are you saying? But then you get more into it, and you're like, oh, you're not saying don't care about anything.
Right.
You're just saying, like, don't care excessively because you don't have time for that shit.
Right. Yeah. Life is short.
Yeah. I totally agree. I agree. Like, the person that you see get pissed off at a grocery store, like a clerk or something like that for no reason, they obviously don't have enough going on in their life to where they care so much about this bagel that's half off.
Right.
That they, like, hey, you need to go get some more hobbies. Like, get some other things into your life because...
Yeah.
People people who actually care about other things, maybe a little bit more meaningful, they don't have time to argue about a bagel at a grocery store. Fucks. Yeah, they have more quality fucks because they have somebody to go home to, or they have they're on their way to a basketball game or whatever the hell you're into. Yeah. You know, I do agree with that stuff.
Absolutely,
and I see that every day.
It is sort of freeing to read something like that, being in the industry that we're in. It's hard to hear because of the industry that we're in. It's you kind of have to believe you're special to keep going.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because if you don't, like, who the hell else will? You
know, right? Yeah.
You got to walk into every meeting like, I'm Kevin Hart. Otherwise, because nobody thinks you are.
Right.
So if you don't even think so, they're going to be like, who cares?
What's the point? Yeah.
But as far as just like being a human being, I think he's talking about like as far as your self-worth, like don't put so much pressure on yourself to be like the next big thing. Be content with like, I'm going to be a good daughter. I'm going to be a good girlfriend.
Right.
I'm going to be a good this, you know what I mean? So I think that's a good message. Cause yeah, if you're so many like young people now, and I'm including myself in that. I'm not like, there's young kids.
Yeah.
just want to be famous and just want to be important. And I think that's kind of what he's trying
to do. That whole crazy like social media. I mean, it's interesting what he said about how we have access to just the best of everybody in the world
because
of YouTube and Facebook. And like, yeah, you see the best juggler and the best comedians and the best whatever writers out there, and it is like, holy shit, I suck. Like, it's very possible that happened. You get discouraged just by not even leaving your home.
Yeah, social media is the land of extremes,
right?
And that the mundane doesn't exist on social media,
right?
It's always just flashy. This is the cool thing I'm doing, but. I think he said it in here, where to get to that point, there's so many hours of just like sitting quietly in a room writing or whatever, like the process to get to those, you know, where you're posting something cool. It's like, it's not all like that. It's
right.
not just a string of those things in life. You have to stop and do the quiet, boring things that nobody gives a fuck about.
Right.
But that's okay, because they're for you.
Yeah.
I really liked, you mentioned it, Taylor, the whole rather than asking yourself what makes you happy, because in general what makes somebody happy is pretty like, yeah, I want to have a nice house, I want to have money, that's too broad of a question to ask. Mm-hmm. That he instead suggests that you should ask, what pain are you willing to live with,
like
what pain are you willing to sustain? And that really targets what you actually love. Because
that was the best for me out of the whole book.
That spoke to me immediately because when I, you know, my experiences with having day jobs before I could do comedy full time was like, I was not happy to be there really ever. Like, to me, it just was, I was tired. I was out late doing shows. I didn't want to be there. It was just something to make money.
Right.
But when I'm on the road now, there are times where it's like, Jesus, this is so fucking, like, I'm sleeping on the floor of the airport right now. This is so brutal. But I still always, in those moments, go, I would always rather be here right now on the floor of this airport than sitting at a desk at a place I don't want to be.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that's like, that resonated so clearly with me. Like, that's the pain I'm willing to endure.
That's amazing. Because I had the exact opposite. I was like, when I was like, oh my God, because I've talked about the whole going back and forth between the stand-up stuff, right? I was like, part of me is like, oh man, yeah, I would one day want to do a special, or I want to do these things. But it's like, oh shit, I don't enjoy the process anymore. I'm not enjoying being out every night. I'm not enjoying the traveling. I'm not enjoying being in the airport. I'm like, I used to enjoy that process to where it made everything worth it. And it like, it didn't feel like work to me. It felt like, this is fun. I would do this no matter what. And I stopped at some point enjoying the process. And that what hit me is like, oh shit. Like, yeah, maybe I want like the end goal of like having a cool special one day, but I don't want to do the work to get there at this time.
Mm. Do you enjoy the doing sets part? Like while you're on stage?
Sometimes. I mean, like that's the thing. It's like, okay, this is when I knew I kind of needed to take a little bit of a break, and I haven't taken a full break, but I've kind of cut down on the amount of shows I do. I had a great set. Everything went super well. Crowd was great. Everything was great. tested out new stuff, did old stuff, whatever, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the show, I had people come up, ask for an autographs and pictures. I'm not anybody, but like, you know, when you have that good of a show, they're like, you're going to be famous in a year. And I'm like, okay, whatever you say, dude. Everything went well. The comedians were great. Everything was great. And I still was like, I don't feel like being here right now. Everything went well. And I still wished I was doing something else. And that's when I was like, I really need to kind of reevaluate why I'm doing this in the first place.
Mm. Yeah, because it that's wasn't what the hit grind. Me. That was like a good...
It was a good everything. And I still was like, why am I feeling like I don't want to be here? Everything was great. What's wrong with me? I should be appreciative of all this.
Interesting.
And so I kind of, from there, was like, all right, I need to kind of really look at what is the reason I'm doing this? And I think I have a lot of like FOMO about it. Like if I don't do it, what other opportunities am I missing out on? All that kind of stuff. But, you know, a part of it is just really not making me happy. So I'm trying to fall in love with the process again. And I like the whole, when he kind of talked about, I want to be a rock star and I want to tour, but I don't want to do any of the practicing or the band practice. I was like, oh, shit, that's how I feel right now.
Yeah.
I'm not liking the little things that are going to get me there. I'm just like, oh, sure, one day I want to put out a fucking special and then call it a day. But I don't want to tour, you know?
What an interesting juxtaposition of Kelsey being on the floor of an airport for 13 hours and being like, still rather be here.
Yeah.
And then you just being like, oh, an autograph. Like, that's so interesting. Because I have the same reaction as Kelsey. I was on a cruise ship doing like 17 shows, doing like two or three shows a night for like, and it was work. Like some of the shows were really fun. At one point, there was a stripper in the audience, a male stripper, and I had him come on stage to strip to Pony
by Genuine.
Oh my gosh.
And he was like, oh, well, I need your help. And I was like, oh, sure. Because I'm like, let's just kill some time. Right? I don't want to do any jokes. And he like flipped me over my head and it was, I screamed.
What?
I was a fat child. You do not pick up someone who is a fat child without warning them. All right? You hear me, Haitian Sensation? That was his name. But I was happy that it killed some time. I didn't have to do. But I was on a stationary bike in the cruise ship gym reading this book and going like, yeah, I still would rather be doing this than anything else. Yeah. And it's such a good reminder when you are like suffering for the thing you want, because everybody who's pursuing something they want, like one of my best friends is going to medical school next week. Wow. And she's like, so worried, but it's like what she's always wanted to do since she was a kid.
Yeah.
And she's, I would never do 8 years of college.
Oh, God, no, I couldn't.
Never. I would never go to med school. Sounds horrible. But that's what she's willing to do to be a doctor.
To be a doctor.
So I think, you know, you just got to find that thing, like he says, that you're willing to go through that pain to achieve.
That is, it's so funny because now I'm like, I'm using stand up to hopefully do what I enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. I'm using it as a means to an end, where it used to be you did other things as a means to an end to do more stand up.
Yeah.
But yeah, that nailed it. The whole pain.
So good.
I thought that was a great way to say that.
Yeah. That was, as soon as I read that, I was like, that has to be talked about.
Because it's true. It's like everybody wants to, like, I want to be a famous singer. I want to be, you know, the best painter in the world. Yeah. But like, are you willing to put hours and hours of work into it every single day?
Yeah.
You're probably not.
Yeah.
You're probably not willing to make those sacrifices. So what are you willing to sacrifice?
Yeah. What are you willing to suffer for? It's so potent.
That was so good. Yeah. That was so good.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I love it. What do you think of when he said happiness is solving problems?
That was the next thing I was going
to
bring up.
That's an interesting way to look at it, right? Because it's like, hey, you kind of just upgrade your problems.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so right now it's like if things are not going well, the problem could be like, do I pay rent or do I buy food? You know? But like, hey, if things are maybe going a little bit better, it's like, do I buy a Jaguar or a Tesla? You know what I mean? Like, but like, to me, it's like eventually, I don't know if I agree with problem as being the right word. I eventually feel like you have choices, not problems.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
It's interesting that he used like happiness as problems, because I don't necessarily know if I get it. Like, you're solving something.
Goals or progress, like a project.
Yeah, because like, it's not a problem if you're choosing between one fancy car or the other. That's just options.
But then that's maybe you don't have money problems. Maybe you have family problems.
Right.
Because you won't lend them money. I think that's what he means.
Okay.
Like, he'll have a problem in some area.
In some way. Okay.
I think it's a huge stress reliever to hear that there will always be problems, that problems are never ending. Because I know for me as a perfectionist, I think there's some crazy game going on in my mind all the time of like, well, let's just play whack-a-mole in my life and just knock out all these problems that, oh shit, now there's five more. And it's like, yeah, that's life. Like, there will always be problems. Why do you think that there won't be, or like that you can somehow solve all of them? So I like that it's going to be reminded of that when you solve a problem, you're going to then get a new problem, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And to try to make good problems rather than bad problems.
Right.
So. Yeah. What did you guys think about him like sort of slamming self-help in the beginning of his self-help book?
Oh, yeah.
That was a bold move.
It's interesting because this is a self-help book. So, you know, and I know he's obviously aware of that.
Yeah.
And I do think like he is saying things in different ways, but it is a lot of the stuff I have heard from other self-help books. He's just saying it differently. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever read The Power of Now and like that kind of stuff.
Should.
That could be another one. But like, yeah, the whole thing is like, hey, we're all going to like die one day. So like, you know, try to be like really present and just,
YOLO.
You know, try not to give so many fucks about stupid things because you're going to die one day. Why are you going to waste time, you know, screaming at this, you know, golf cart or something, you know, like it's stupid. That's not the first time I've heard something like that. He's just putting it with a fuck word.
With a lot of stuff, it was like that.
Yeah.
Like when he says like there's one part that says like, be less certain of yourself. And you're kind of like, what? But then you read it and it's just like, accept that maybe you're wrong. And I'm like, that's just critical thinking. And you said it in a way that made us go, what?
Like, yeah.
And it's the whole book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And it caught people's attention.
Right.
He just found a way to do it differently.
Exactly.
I think he did it in a really smart way. Some of the ideas in here are really good and like stuck out. But yeah, there were some that I was like, well, I've heard
that. Yeah.
I felt like it got broader as it went on. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, it did. It kind of, I mean, to end with the whole idea of we're all going to die, I mean, that's about as broad as it gets.
But
it's like, we're all going to die, so care about, you know, things that actually matter, give the right fucks, all that stuff.
Right.
I liked him talking about, I thought it was interesting that he was living this like very bachelor lifestyle and now he's married and talking about the freedom through commitment.
Yes.
As opposed to freedom through choices.
That's good.
And that when you commit to either a person in a relationship or to a job or to a city or something like that, that there is a freedom in that because now you're no longer wondering about the other options. You've made that commitment and it's done. Cause I am the worst with that. Like, I want to try everything before, like I talk about it on stage, but the Cheesecake Factory really overwhelms me every time.
I love the Cheesecake Factory.
Cause like, I just want a menu that's like, that has like eight good things for me to pick from. But that
hashtag
menu
In-N-Out.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh.
Three things.
Exactly.
That's all you need.
Yeah. Do you ever order it In-N-Out and go, oh, maybe? No, you don't.
You know
you
exactly
order
what you want.
Double
animal style fries, chocolate shake.
Dude.
Yeah.
She knows.
Yes. Yes. The finger.
I know. Fuck you, Delaney. But yeah, Cheesecake Factory, it's like every cuisine that has ever been created ever. And
you order something and then I find myself going, but maybe I wanted like,
and then you have to pick so a good cheesecake.
Oh, my God.
But let me tell you, everything is good. I've never had a bad meal at the Cheesecake Factory.
That's true. Me
you
too.
Know? Yeah. They do everything pretty well.
Which is impressive for such an expansive menu.
Yeah,
that
I
is true.
I want to see that Cheesecake Factory bit really bad. Oh. I just need you to send me like a 45-minute set of yours. I don't get to see you guys do stand-up like ever. I've only seen you both live like a couple times.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Same.
Because we're all working different things all the time.
Right.
I always, whenever you like reference a bit, I'm like, God, I just want to, I'll buy a ticket.
Oh my God.
But just like, start sending each other YouTube videos.
We need to be in the same spot so I can like go to a show.
I know. That's oh what we need to do a show together.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, that's all off topic. Go see everyone live. KelseyCookComedy.com.
Oh my gosh. You're so sweet. Just KelseyCook.com. But
fucked up
it's
the plug,
okay.
Taylor.
KelseyCookComedy is her Instagram. Oh.
It's like saying,
Lainey Fisher across the board.
Boom. You nailed it.
I nailed it. I really liked the stuff he said. It's around the pain part where he talks about like redefining your values so that you're basically redefining what success is for you. And he talks about Picasso.
Oh,
wasn't that great?
Yeah. Yes. Have you heard that story before?
That he didn't
somebody else
anything?
Has used this story.
I also really
a lot of people use Picasso.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And the rock star one,
sad.
I thought the rock star example was like mind blowing.
Which one was that?
About the Beatles, the guy who wasn't going to be in the Beatles.
Yeah,
who's
that
like
was
happier
good.
Than the Beatles? Oh,
so
I want
good.
Him to write a book called like
settling
Beatles. Yeah. Than, oh God,
didn't win.
Beatles less than signed.
But did.
Yeah. But that's so much better. Settling.
The cockroaches. All right, I'll stop.
Oh my God. And it's just cockroaches feeding on a beetle.
Yeah.
That was really good. They tell a story in the book about how, first off, he references Picasso and how Picasso like didn't really have, he was very prolific, but he didn't have any success. Everybody knows that until he was dead. And right. how if he had defined it as like get super successful, he would have been really sad. Maybe he was, we didn't know Picasso.
Yeah.
But he would have quit is what he was saying. But his goal was honest expression, and that's why he kept, you know, scribbling on napkins like in cafes his whole life, because he was just trying to be honest and express himself as opposed to just get famous,
right?
Cause that's what's going to keep you going for the rest of your life in an artistic profession, not
yeah.
becoming famous, because so few people do and you just have to accept it while simultaneously hoping that you're Kevin Hart,
right?
And then the other one was the original drummer.
Yeah, it was the original drummer from the Beatles.
Yeah.
God,
versus, I forget his name, dude.
What was the other story of the
George
musician?
The rock band. Oh
yeah,
my God.
The rock band.
Blanking. Megadeth.
Metallica.
And Megadeth.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was super interesting.
It's so good. Basically, this one guy got kicked out of Metallica,
yeah.
and he created Megadeth, also wildly successful, but to him, he still feels like a failure because it was never as successful as Metallica. And to all of us normies, it's like, holy shit, you're a rock star,
yeah.
but this guy's measuring himself at a different...
Yeah.
He has a different value to measure himself, or
right.
metric. Yeah, and I thought that was...
Because
fucking crazy.
His metric was revenge.
Yeah.
Oh,
Taylor's quote, avenge and remember.
That's
and
right.
My favorite.
But yeah, the Beatles one was interesting too, how the guy got kicked out of the Beatles and he was like a handsome guy. Didn't they get rid of him
yeah.
because he was so handsome?
Yeah.
And they got rid of
like
him
that.
And then the Beatles got super successful and then he just like settled down and had a life and he's like said in interviews.
Still
like,
performs.
I'm probably way happier because like, I just watched that documentary about the Beatles.
It's on Animal Planet.
Yeah.
It's
on Animal Planet.
Really cute.
The Beatles. It was the one that came out. I want to say it's Hard Day's Night. No, it's not Hard Day's Night. That's the movie. They made a documentary about the Beatles. Just the touring years that I watched on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
They only toured for like 4 years.
Really?
It might have been
that's
less
it?
Than four. It was very few years. It was only like... It was between 2 and 4. It was really short, and it got so crazy that you're like, that doesn't even look fun.
It's just madness.
And so
Beatlemania.
It doesn't surprise me that that guy was like, I'm probably happier that I didn't go through that.
Well, he's got like the best of both worlds in a way. He's got like a nice family, and he's also still performing music.
Yeah.
Like he's got both, where they had this extreme fame that they're performing, but like they couldn't hold, you know, relationship issues and all that kind of stuff. It's interesting how, I don't know. To me, success is definitely a balance. Like okay, one of my favorite comedians is Kira Soltanovich. I think she is
her.
She has been my favorite for so long, and to me she has everything. She has a husband, she has 2 children, and she's fucking hilarious, and she's successful, and she's working. She somehow manages it all.
Yeah.
And like to me, that is success. That's my idea of success. Somebody might look at Amy Schumer as success. She's super famous. Is she have a relationship? I don't know.
Not anymore.
Okay. Something like that. Maybe that's somebody's idea of success. But for me, it's like, okay, maybe Kira is not the biggest name. You know, she's not like
but
an Amy Schumer name.
So much happier.
But she's so good, and she seems like to me that would be a happier lifestyle. But what I'm kind of going
like
for.
Schumer famous, you're like, and she gets so much hate.
Yeah.
It looks overwhelming.
It does look
so
overwhelming.
Hard. Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
Because we've
blessing
all read an odd YouTube comment that kind of.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh.
And Kelsey posts sexual harassment comments on the reg. And that'll even mess your day up a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, ooh, someone looked at my boobs.
Oh, yeah.
Does it make you feel weird? Does it, like, not really affect you? Or does there still, like, a little twinge of, like, I feel a little violated, but.
Maybe I've become dead inside. Maybe I'm just numb to it. It doesn't really bother me anymore unless there's been some that are really graphic, but like when it's whatever that guy just the other day was like, you have beautiful boobs. It's like,
what about me staring at your boobs right now? Does that make you uncomfortable?
My ego is exploding.
If you see the person doing it, is that a little bit more uncomfortable? Because I mean, it's like, internet is anonymous. So it's
and it's always someone so scary.
Like, so creepy.
I tried to do a joke about it. I feel like every creepy like comment I get online is just like from someone whose profile picture is like a drawing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Always, of course.
Never any photos of themselves.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, just like cartoons
why did
and anime.
A sketch of a wolf say they want to eat my ass. This is awful.
did I shout so out my new funny. Twitter? Is at wolfman.com.
It all comes back to the whole profile was just photos of bagels. It was just butt munching. That's hilarious.
You know what I had a hard time with this book is I couldn't. The way that he used the word entitlement, I had a hard time trying to figure out, like, he basically says, like, everybody with issues is entitled in one way or the other, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're either entitled because you think you're better than everybody else, or you're entitled because you think you're worse than everybody else. And that was an interesting concept, because then he also, like, mentioned, like, which is like, I don't know about this. He's like, basically school shooters are entitled because they think their lives are so much worse than everybody else that they feel entitled to go and do something crazy like that.
Right.
To me, it's like, are we not talking about that? There's also like mental health issues and stuff. You know what I mean?
Entitled is a weak word.
Entitled is not the best word for somebody like who has some serious fucked up shit, you know? So
that's turning the word entitled into like a very broad spectrum within that word.
Very broad. I get what he's trying to say, but I do feel like, all right, I think there's also another category.
Talk about like YouTubers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, think about all the kids trying to be YouTubers.
Oh
my
God.
That's like the job now. That's like what kids want to be.
So nuts.
YouTuber.
Yeah, like back to, or like, what is it? Take your parent to school day. What is it, you know, what is it called?
Oh,
fucking
career day?
Teacher career. What are you at? Career day. It's gonna be like a YouTube chick walking in, being like, "What's up?" You know,
that's funny.
Ask me what I do. Like, that's gonna be so
YouTubers
interesting,
are really
right?
Impressive. They're really creative.
Oh yeah, my bad. I didn't want to shit on all the YouTubers,
but some of them. but yeah, just
That's so interesting, right?
I get the entitled. I get what he's trying to say, but I agree with you. That's. What are other things you had an issue with, Kelsey? Because I feel like you had mentioned something else, too.
That, I don't know. Fuck,
I don't
want to
put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. It's all kind of blurred in my brain now. I can't think of anything else specific. Just mostly, it's hard for me when it's the putting, it makes you feel like it's a put down.
Yeah.
Because I guess I look to self-help books to like remind me of like, hey,
boost
keep going.
Your confidence.
Everything's going to be great. And I get that this is part of why this book's probably successful and attention getting, because it is like, hey, you know, wake the fuck up. Maybe you're not as great as you think. Maybe you need to reevaluate who you are, and maybe you're actually really selfish and all that shit. And maybe it's good to feel a little uncomfortable as you're reading it and be like, oh, like, am I selfish? Like, yeah. Do I need to reexamine shit? But I guess I'm just not used to that in a self-help book. So,
yeah. I mean, all the stuff at the beginning about how, you know, like, self-help books are an issue and the self-improvement craze is an issue because if you're always trying to improve yourself, you're going to be unhappy was kind of the thing he said.
Yeah.
Like, oh, right. Happy people don't say affirmations in the mirror every day.
Yeah. Like, that's I really agree with that because that kind of goes against the happiness is solving problems. Don't you kind of feel that way?
That is like the exact opposite of The Secret, basically.
Yeah.
It's like if you have to try to be happy every day, you're then you're not doing it right. And it's like, I disagree with that just for myself. Like when I really actively make an effort to feel grateful for things and like visualize things I want, I automatically feel happier.
Right.
I don't know.
You just have to kind of remind yourself. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting.
And I feel like I'm a problem I always need to solve. Like, yeah. You know, like there's little parts of you and that becomes a different problem. And you're like, all right, now I'm working on this aspect of myself.
Well, I do like that he said, like, yeah, growth promotes happiness, not arbitrary achievements. Like, I do think, like, that's why people, you set a goal for yourself to buy a new car, then you buy it and you're still not happy.
Yeah, that was a great part.
There's no growth. Like, where do you go from there? So I like the fact that you know, you kind of have like long-term goals, like committing yourself to one person or committing yourself to one career.
Absolutely.
You have these long-term goals where, you know, once you do something, there's still more, you're still growing.
Yeah.
So I think that's
like with stand-up, it's not necessarily like the credit that you got from it, but the fact that you improved as a comedian, like that your material got stronger. I think that's a healthier thing to really be like, yeah, I bettered myself as a performer. So
the whole, you're not special thing. I do like the aspect of it's okay to just like be not mediocre, but just be like normal. Like it's giving you permission to just be the guy who works at Subway and comes home to his loving girlfriend. And it's okay. If that's what's making you happy, it's okay to not be a rock star.
Yeah. I feel like the thing he's saying don't give a fuck about is just don't give a fuck about what people think about you.
Yeah.
Or this like idea you've created about yourself that you should be. It talks about that in here somewhere, that you have like two selves. Like one of yourselves is like the one that exists and the other one is this idea that you've created in your mind that you're striving for.
Right.
So I think there's some truth in that. I mean, I don't know. There was a part in here I made a point to remember, because when he says, it's in the beginning, and he says, moments of non-fuckery are the moments that most define our lives, the major switch in careers, the spontaneous choice to drop out of college and join a rock band, decision to finally dump a deadbeat boyfriend. Like, I feel like all of those things are giving a fuck, though.
Yeah, that's giving the most fucks to
right.
me.
Yeah. It's giving a fuck about something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Because I thought that was a weird thing to say, of like these moments of non-fuckery. And maybe it's what he should have said is like, don't give a fuck about the consequences or your fears or something. Because if you change your career, you're obviously giving a big fuck about, you know, your dream or something. You know, like, so I don't know.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, there were parts of this that...
A little murky.
Yeah, they were murky. That
little murky mark.
Little murky mark.
You know what I wish there was... An element that I was really missing from this is, like, I wanted there to be, like, exercises or questions I could ask myself. I had a hard time connecting to the material. Like, The Artist's Way is so good. It's like,
yeah,
write 10 things that you want to do tomorrow. Whatever, yeah. Right? There was no kind of, like, ask yourself this. It was more like I was learning about his life and his friends versus he wasn't really spinning it around like, now you try this.
Yeah.
I was missing that, and I had a hard time connecting to the material because of that.
That's great.
No exercises, really.
It's harder for it to leave as much of a lasting imprint as it could.
Right.
If you could directly in that moment apply it to your life and take a little, you know,
little nugget.
From it.
Yeah.
Little treat.
Yeah. Your Cheetos.
Your
Cheetos that you love so much.
I know.
And the other thing was everybody on the back page, like these people give a fuck about this book. It's all people who wrote self-help books. I'm like, you can't be all cool and anti self-help and then be like, but I've read all these guys.
Yeah.
Like, come on, you're
gonna buy my book.
But if you are interested in this book, which I mean, I recommend it. You guys recommend it?
I think it was a good read. I think a lot of it spoke to me and a lot of it confused me.
Pretty easy read.
Yeah,
right.
It's pretty quick.
Easy and quick.
It is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson. And we now have an Amazon affiliate link for the podcast, which we are super excited about. So if you'd like to buy this book, you can go to selfhelplesspodcast.com and click on that Amazon banner that just it pops up right there. It's super easy to find. It takes you to Amazon. Just search the name of that book. And when you go through that little process, we get a little percentage of the money you spend.
Yeah. Or anything you buy when you click on that banner.
Exactly.
You don't have to buy this. You can get socks if you want.
Yeah.
Which we'll use to sunscreen. Make beautiful, beautiful merch for all of you.
Yes, exactly. It's just a chain of giving.
Yes.
So go check that out. And I think we're going to get into our little advice segment because somebody wrote in.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody wrote in. Yes. And we record these like in advance. So we're sorry if you ask a question and the new episode comes out and you're like, they ignored my question. We totally didn't. We just have some banked because we have very busy schedules and we all have to meet when we can and just scramble for quality time. So this one is from Kelsey Maxwell. And she says, hi guys, I'm writing to you for some advice. I am really interested in comedy and have wanted to try stand-up for a while. However, I have really bad anxiety, and the idea of getting on stage and bombing sends it into overdrive. In my local comedy club, it seems to be a man's club, which is full of young men who already know each other, which makes me even more anxious. Do you guys have any advice on how I should tackle this? Thanks in advance, Kelsey.
That is an amazing question.
It really is.
Well, Kelsey, thanks for reaching out because that takes balls just to even admit that you want to try something. You know, like that.
You're scared to try it.
You're scared. I can say I have awful, awful, like stage fright. I am one of those people that should not be on stage because I hate it so much.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have. I don't. But I like once I'm up there, I'm fine. But in the beginning of doing stand up, I almost quit after maybe 6 weeks because the anxiety of knowing I had a show in 3, 2, 1 day would drive me nuts. Diarrhea, vomiting, you name it, I had it. It would just consume me to the point where, like, is this even worth it, right? And then I would get on stage and it would go fine. And then just, like, this release, you know, like,
still get nervous?
I don't get nervous like that, no.
So
I'm good now.
That's a good anecdote to share because I was the exact same way when I started. Were you like that too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Cool.
Very nervous.
Yeah. When you start, you're going to be terrified.
I was like that too.
I would count down the days knowing I had a show like on Friday and it was Monday. Ruined the whole week.
The whole week.
Yeah. Diarrhea. Also probably had IBS because I was still eating dairy. But that's beside the point. Like all that stuff, you just have to go into it knowing that's going to happen and like forge ahead.
Right.
Like, I mean,
it gets easier.
It lasted for you, Kelsey.
Oh, man. at least a couple years, maybe a year.
Yeah.
Something like that. I'm trying
at least a year, I think. It gets easier over time. It gets easier. It gets different.
I think it depends. I remember still maybe like a couple years in, if it was a bigger show, really still having a lot
yes.
of... even still now, like
it's a big show.
Seven
I get
years,
nervous.
8 years in, if it's a really like if it's like 2,000 people and it's an important show, of course there's adrenaline and butterflies and but there's I think it's more adrenaline than fear. Like I feel confident, but it's still like oh shit, you know, about to do this. You get a little bit of feelings inside.
The only way to combat it is to get on stage every night. Once I started getting on stage every single night, which didn't happen until like a few years after I had started doing it, every single night you get on stage so much that you just get used to it. It's like a muscle. It's like, you know, like lifting weights. Like at a certain point you're like, oh, this doesn't hurt as much. You know,
totally.
This isn't as difficult.
Totally. Yeah, and I stopped like caring about like the outcome of that particular show because there was one tomorrow. Yes, you know, there's always another one. Yes. Who cares?
Because when there's only one a week, you have
a lot of emphasis.
So much run like on that show.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure
so
to put
on
that one set.
Absolutely.
So my advice is to get out there, do it. As far as like, God, what do you have?
It's always a boys club. It's a boys club everywhere. I mean, in any career, it's still a boys club and we're still, you know, making good efforts, but it's still going to be that way. My advice was try to like find a buddy maybe that will at least come with you and hang out with you. I know that sometimes just going to an open mic as an audience member and watching everybody do it might be a little bit more helpful. Like you see, you don't even have to go up the first time. Just go there, see what the environment is like, listen to what everybody's saying and doing. You might feel a little bit better about going up there and trying your own stuff out. You'll see like some people just get up there and make animal noises. You know what I mean? You'd be like, well, I can do that. So you might, you know, you'll see kind of a range of different things happening at an open mic.
Absolutely.
And just find the nice boys. There are nice boys.
Yeah.
There are nice boys.
Always. There are nice boys. And you will make friends. You just keep showing up.
Yeah.
You got to just bite the bullet. I would try to find maybe a buddy to go with you. Like, hey, I really want to try this, but I'm nervous. Maybe they'll come with you and sit with you or whatever.
Yeah.
It's nice when you're not alone.
Yeah. Like Nike, just do it.
just do it and
it.
Just be
that's
aware.
How it goes.
Eat a PB&J. It settles the stomach.
Unless you have a peanut allergy like me.
And then
allergy.
Oh, shit. Okay, forget it. Eat rice.
Yeah. There you go.
Get out of here. You're fucking bagel eating finger body. Boo. Boo to you and your food suggestions.
Dude, I used to do like, what is it? The banana bread. Rice applesauce. Well, you know, tea with a brat diet.
Right?
Banana, rice, applesauce.
It's toast.
Toast.
Yep.
I used to do that before shows because I'm like, I can't hold it. I gotta hold it in.
Soak that up.
Awful. Yeah, but like you said, I still get nervous. Like if it's just like, oh, all famous people and then me on a lineup, like what the fuck am I doing there? I'm like, I'm a little nervous.
Every time I go to the comedy store, this way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just nervous.
Such a bad. God damn, you guys. This just turned into like a diarrhea cast.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
It is.
It's just diarrhea is gonna happen.
A diary.
Kelsey, you're out of the podcast. Please leave.
Time still.
We're really trying to come up with merch someone will wear.
Yeah.
Let's make a diarrhea tote.
Hopefully that helped you, Kelsey. Right?
Yeah, like, hopefully. Let us know how it goes.
Please.
We'd love to keep up with you. I think that's great, and you should absolutely do it and
try it.
Comedy always needs more women. I just think it's great. That being said, if you can do something else, absolutely do something else.
It's an awful life.
Hard life.
But do it. You can always just keep it around as a hobby.
Yeah.
You know?
Give it a try.
Just give it a go.
But that's a good, so that's Kelsey Maxwell's goal is to start stand-up comedy. What are our hashtag?
That was a great transition. Yeah, something you'll learn if you do stand-up more.
Thank you so much.
Boom, boom, boom. Segue.
What's everybody's hashtag goals this week? or how some updates on your hashtag goals?
Oh, I don't really have a much of a goal right now except to stop being gross. But like
all right.
I have an update because
diarrhea queen over here.
I think, did I tell you about my update that I did put something in my creativity corner? For my feng shui. Did I tell you that I put a picture of Lucille Ball?
Yes, you did. You
okay, then I did tell you that, but did I tell you that it's been working? What? I'm still not loving stand up a whole lot right now, but I have been writing more stand up, which I have not in months, which is super weird. I'm like, why am I thinking about these bits right now?
And try some bits right now.
Then I, Kelsey's going to steal my bits. She just knew. But it was funny because I was like, what am I doing? I'm writing so many bits. And then I looked up at Lucille Ball looking up at me and I'm like, oh shit, I think my Lucille Ball picture is working.
Yep. Feng shui, awesome. You guys.
Super weird.
Power of feng shui.
Super weird because I have not been inspired to write any stand up.
Yeah.
Until a week and a half ago. The ghost of Lucille Ball is definitely helping me. She used to roam these streets where we are recording this podcast at Paramount Pictures.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Pretty cool. So it's working. That was not really a goal, but an update.
It's a great update.
Of a goal that I had recently.
More like feng shui.
Yeah. Hey.
I'm so sorry.
Oh my God. How can she do that? And I can't do diarrhea.
Well, here's the thing. I did that joke the very first podcast and you were like, Delaney, you need to get out of the room.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
No, I said, Kelsey puts the fun in feng shui. You're like, we're voting Delaney off the island. Or whatever. Remember that?
That's better than what I just said. I like did the same joke but way worse.
Oh my God.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I love you guys.
Kelsey, don't do anything that we're doing. The new Kelsey, not
It's confusing
not
when the person who wrote in has the same name as one of us.
Yeah, it is.
Maxwell.
Yeah.
Kelsey Maxwell.
Thank you so much, Maxwell.
Max.
What about you, Kelsey?
Goals.
Kelsey, who is here? Kelsey on the podcast.
Kelsey, who's present.
Kelsey Maxwell's listening. Like, they're still talking to me.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
This girl's need more friends.
Yeah. mine is pretty much an ongoing goal. I hope that this podcast helps me with this, but perfectionism is just like a very hard thing for me to beat, and it's very deeply ingrained in me, and I feel like it's just affecting so many things, especially my relationship. Like, I feel like I'm really scrutinizing everything lately, and I would like to fucking ease up and not be so, like, I just feel like I'm being a fucking crazy pants.
Do you feel like you're being, like you're being critical of me or yourself?
I think both. I feel like I can't really do anything right. Like, I'm, like, regretting things I'm saying, like I'm just saying knee-jerk things and I'm like, oh, that, no, don't say that. You know what I mean? I get in these weird wet cat moods where like
<That's>
everything, you know, how just a wet cat is just like, don't even look at me. Like I keep getting these weird, and honestly, I've missed a birth control pill this pack and last pack. And when I do that, like, my body's so sensitive. I think it really fucks with me emotionally to, like, double up the next day. Like, my skin goes nuts. My digestive system goes crazy. And my emotions are just a little bit erratic. So I need to, like, cool it. And I'm just feeling a little off.
Aww. Well,
so
I do recommend the IUD if you want one ever.
I've heard so many horror
stories. Yeah, I've heard too many horror stories. I'm sticking with the pill.
I can always tell you my story next episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's kind of like Chinese a horror story with a good ending.
Kind of.
Okay.
But yeah.
Fuck, it's so God.
But like, I did it because of the hormone thing. I wanted to get the hormones out of my body, but I also don't want to get pregnant. So, you know, the IUD was like the way to go for me.
Hormones, don't want a baby. You don't want anything in your body.
No, I really don't.
Except for
there's one thing. Yeah. Sorry. One thing I don't mind. What's up there.
Robert Mulford.
Some Robert Mulford D. Oh my God.
After he finishes gardening.
Like a name that was on the list of priests in Spotlight.
Absolutely. What a perfect reference.
But then Cam sounds like someone's boyfriend in the Sweet Valley High books.
Job
in changing it. You made the right choice, Cam.
I did.
Camford. That's a good mashup.
Oh my God.
What about
is
your goal?
My goal is to just keep up with this vegetarian thing.
Oh,
I think we mentioned it a little earlier, Kelsey and I have been trying to give up meat. And that might be another reason too. Do you feel like emotionally?
Yeah, I feel a little crazy. I feel emotional. My skin's weird.
My skin's just so weird.
Dude,
it's so weird. I even noticed I went to the bathroom. I like little.
My fucking shoulders. I've got zits on my shoulders. I don't know what's going on.
I always have zits on my shoulders. Welcome, welcome, ladies, to my life.
You know what? Good finger body.
Finger body's always got something going on.
Yeah, it's. Oh, I have a friend. Her name's Erica. Shout out to Erica if you're listening. I hope you are. She went plant based vegan. Over a year ago, it was probably longer than that. I want to say it's like a year and a half, maybe 2 years. But she has been telling me for a long time, and I've tried to go vegan before, and it's so hard. And this time I've been eating, the first week and a half, I didn't have anything. And then the last few days, I've been having egg whites at breakfast. Because I feel like that's a good medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she told me what to expect. She's like, you're going to feel really emotional. It lasts for almost a couple months.
Ooh.
Yeah, what? That's what she told me. And that's what online says, too. It's like, it can last anywhere from a month to 3 months. You have a really emotional tie to eating meat. So it's emotionally it's messing with you. And this happened to me the last time I tried, too. I did it for 3 or 4 weeks where I didn't have anything, and it got really hard for me, and I felt very raw emotionally, and my skin started freaking out a couple days ago where I broke out all over my forehead. So I went and I got probiotics and enzymes and then got a bunch of ginger tea.
See?
Drinking so much.
Yeah.
And that's been better, because I was I had a couple days too. I was so bloated, I was in pain. I was I don't want to do this.
Yeah. Maybe it's withdrawals or something. I don't know. Yeah, that's it's weird.
Because I've been doing paleo. And before I did paleo, I wasn't eating a ton of meat. And then with paleo, I was eating a lot of meat because it was the only thing you could have almost.
Right.
And now going off it is it's really hard. But my poops have been amazing.
Oh, vegan poops are the best poops. They come right out.
And that's so easy.
No wipers.
Good sign, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I didn't have any of that because I did the vegan thing for about a year, but I eased into it. I went from full on eating everything to I cut pork and then I cut, no, I cut red meat and then pork and then chicken and all that. And then I was just eating fish. I kind of eased into it. And then I went vegetarian and then I went vegan. So dairy was the last thing I cut out. So I kind of went on this so I didn't experience all the.
That's what's frustrating though, because I already don't eat red meat and I don't eat dairy. So I only am cutting out white meat.
Yeah.
And I felt if anything. And I haven't even been eating a bunch of grains either. I've only been eating brown rice. And that's the only grain I've been eating.
Maybe you need to get more protein. You need, as I tell you, more lentils.
I have a lot
of
lentils and beans.
And spinach and cereal, bran maybe.
No, I haven't been having.
Are you drinking a lot of water? Because when you up your fiber that much, your body needs more water to pass it. Because when you're saying you're bloated, I was thinking maybe she's not drinking enough water. But
maybe that was, I don't know.
It's interesting that you're having, you don't, I had a way harder time cutting dairy than I did meat. Because I feel like there's a lot of good meat substitutes that taste yummy. And there's no good cheese substitutes.
Oh, cheese.
Cheese is my life. Anyway, for another episode.
Yeah. We're just giving little teasers.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be a big one.
Is to keep up, is to not quit. Because it's so hard. Because I know the minute I had a burger, I'd feel better.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm getting used to I'm just hungry all the time.
Yeah.
I'm eating I feel smaller portions, but every 2 hours.
Yeah. You're eating a bird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exhausting.
Because you're basically eating bird food.
Yeah. I bought a lunchbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's all good.
We're going to get into that in a couple episodes.
Oh, yeah.
But we want to let you guys know so you can follow along if you want. Next week, we're going to be... what's the official title?
The Magical Art of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo.
Yes.
And this was actually some feedback from our listeners who said that we should start shouting out what we're going to be reviewing so you guys can follow along. Great advice. Thank you so much. There's two or three people who did that, who wrote in and said that we should do that. 100% agree.
Eric
and now
Steffens,
we're going to do it.
Shout out to Eric.
Yeah. And there was a girl that left a review. And
there
I can't remember her name.
There was a girl who left a great review and she was very nice about it.
She said the only criticism.
Ellis Me 1590.
Yeah, she said, great
one
advice.
One minor criticism I have is sometimes I feel lost because I haven't read or watched the thing they're talking about.
Totally agree.
And,
Yeah. And we'll be doing that after, at the end of every episode.
Yeah.
Letting you know what's next.
And on the Facebook page. So like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because we post a lot of stuff. And
yes, we do.
Little teasers of what's coming up next. And then you can do like the little book club. I've really been enjoying like doing it with you guys.
It's so nice.
It's so nice.
It's fun. Keeps me on track.
Yeah. I've listened to like a movie review podcast and they like announce what they saw. Like, so I can like see it and like, and I know what they're talking about. It's the best, and then you feel more engaged in so follow along with us.
We love the magical
art of tidying up was great. Highly recommend
it. We're so excited to talk about it.
My favorite self-help book to this day.
So cool,
and I can't wait to talk about it. Tune in.
Yes, go buy the book if you'd like to. It's a very quick read.
You can
do it through selfhelplesspodcast.com. Click on that Amazon banner, get it through there. I did it just on YouTube. They have the audio version of it on YouTube. It's like 4 hours long. I just played it in the background as I started to whip through my apartment.
Change your life. Out.
Awesome that you got to listen to it while you're.
It was like I was high. Yeah. I was on some sort
so
of
good.
High. It was amazing. So we'll be talking about that next week. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Give us that 5-star rating and review. We will give you a shout out. We love the love. Anything else, you guys?
I think that's it.
I think that about does it.
All right. You guys are awesome. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.